Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio. Hi, and welcome to another episode of M2I Alternative Investments Chat. We are your hosts, Aaron, and this is Erica. Today, we are going to be talking about everyone's favorite topic, it seems, millennials. And
that's because we are millennials.
Well, I'm a zillennial, you know, I'm on the cusp, but, you know, I'll claim some of it. I'll not claim the bad parts. You could keep those.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that.
And we are going to be talking about how they are investing and not investing. We'll get to that. And also their interest in alternative investments.
Yeah, that's right. So millennials are driven by their unique preferences, values, and we are very fluent in technology. And so they're not following, millennials are not following the typical path of, you know, their parents in investing. Actually, a lot of generations, as we're seeing, kind of millennials and younger, are straying away from those very traditional styles of stocks, bonds, and things of that nature. Sure. So instead, they're valuing customization, and they're seeking alternative investments that allow for more personalized, diversified portfolios. And we'll discuss why that is coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into it. Millennials are skeptical of traditional institutions, wouldn't you know? Sounds about right. They prefer or are interested in alternatives because some are seen as more transparent, accessible, or align with their values. If you have a millennial, you know, very strong on their own values and personal opinions, they want the decisions in their life to reflect those values and opinions that they have. And that extends to their financial decisions as well. Mm-hmm. So they are exploring avenues like venture capital, private equity, and real estate through platforms. We talked about technology being huge for millennials. So there's even online platforms where you can access these sorts of investment opportunities and get fractional ownership. We've all heard about millennials not buying houses, but this is an opportunity for millennials to get a piece of the housing market without buying an entire property, which is pretty cool. And it also aligns with their desire for flexibility and varied exposure, having their hand in different sorts of pots and kind of getting a piece of the pie across the board.
Yeah, well, and you know, one of the cool things about this is that we're seeing millennials lead these companies now. So it's really taking that shift and saying, hey, look, I created this company. Let me tell you how to do this.
Sure.
So there's a gentleman called Eric Sachs. He's the founder of Alto, which we actually got to experience a webinar with Alto yesterday see them at a conference here recently. So they're an alternative investment platform that helps individuals invest in IRAs. So we've had that episode before about when do you start planning for retirement? Mm-hmm. Out the womb, I think, is what we decided. So again, IRAs are individual retirement accounts. So they're doing that by facilitating in non-traditional assets like startups, mm-hmm. real estate, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. crypto, mm-hmm. And they're making it easier to diversify that retirement portfolio. Again, they don't have to worry about the stocks in that very, very volatile market. We're trying, as millennials, we're setting ourselves up for success, and we're being taught and led by people who are living this journey with us.
Right.
So that's really cool. There's also another millennial like Alexis Ohanian. He's the co-founder of Reddit. Everyone who has Reddit, I'm sure you guys, you know, sorry for those deep dives that you find yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's a very millennial
thing. Yes. But he's actually leading a company called 776, and it's his own venture capital firm focusing on alternative investments. So again, really cool. These millennials are really paving the way and taking us with them along that journey.
Yeah, exactly. And that also reminds me of Jillian Hellman, fellow millennial, and she leads Realty Mogul. And this platform provides real estate investment opportunities through both equity and debt investments in commercial properties, which is pretty cool. Just making that market more open to mm-hmm. both accredited and non-accredited investors through crowdfunding, which we'll get more into crowdfunding now, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason that's really cool about those non-accredited is like a lot of millennials are not accredited.
Yeah.
So we are seeing that shift in your income again, like you mentioned earlier, they're not even able to buy houses. Now, even though that doesn't really go towards your net worth, but they don't have a lot of money. So they're trying to take any extra and they're putting it towards these really good investments. So another trend that we're seeing with those millennials is that they, we talked about this already, those platforms like crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending. Mm-hmm. So these platforms, again, they're at, I mean, in our palms,
yeah,
with our cell phones. And they're investing. It's so much easier. It's like, you can kind of think about it. It's like you switch between Instagram and Facebook, and then all of a sudden you're in your investments and you check a bit. And it's really, really cool. It's just more accessible for those who might not have a huge sums of money. We talked about a lot of millennials, just the cost of living is a little bit more these days. So we got to try to figure out how to take those extra pennies and put them aside.
Yeah, it's that gamification of investments. You know, we saw that with the GameStop stock, which that's a tongue twister to say. But definitely, like you said, you know, you're going from social media to these platforms because it feels fun and exciting. And it also gives you an opportunity to invest a little bit of money and potentially have reward for it. Mm-hmm. There's also a couple other platforms that we have touched briefly on in prior episodes very quickly, but Lending Club and Fundrise are transforming the investment landscape by allowing smaller investments in real estate and in loans. So just what I said, they're able to take these smaller pieces of money and invest it, which of course we know investing is a great idea, but there is a barrier to entry, which is funds. If you need, you know, a majority of the funds that you are receiving through your paycheck, and you're not able to set aside all that much, it can be challenging to invest. So this allows millennials to get involved in the market for a smaller fee.
Yeah. Well, like I said, pennies, we're not being funny. Unfortunately, these days, it's pennies. You know, your paycheck, like you said, most of it goes to your rent. Groceries, gas, insurance, all the other stuff, and then you're left with very little. So someone else we don't want to forget about is Sophia Ambroso. Mm-hmm. So she is the founder of Girl Boss.
Ooh, Girl Boss.
Us. She's backed a crowdfunding platform that specifically aims to empower smaller investors, especially women. Mm-hmm. And these platforms are providing more opportunities for millennials to either enter the investment space, and like we said, with that smaller amount of capital, mm-hmm. you've got 10 extra bucks, you know, maybe by the end of the year, it can be 200 by the time you get it invested. I don't know.
Yeah. And of course, you know, that's not the case for all millennials, but you know, historical trends and the trends of our current society of that generation is showing that millennials are not buying houses. Mm-hmm. They are in some cases worse off than the previous generation or their parents' generation. Yeah. So, of course, it's not a one size fits all. But if you're listening and you're somebody who is struggling to set aside, you know, some money to invest, but you're still interested in it, just know you're not alone.
You're not alone. And we talked about this in our last episode. You know, we are of a different age group. We're of a different thought of, like, train of thought. All the things is, remember when people used to work for 30 years, retire, and then, you know, they bought a house for $5 or so. That's what it felt like, you know.
And they were set.
And they were, yeah, and it was great. And they lived in that house until they passed it on. And it's just not a thing anymore. So, yeah, you're not alone, promise.
Yeah,
not alone. There's more.
Yeah. And millennials love that accessibility and control, which is great when we
I just am type A personality and I have to always be in control? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, of course I didn't. I didn't say that.
I think that's what you're suggesting.
But having those platforms allows for that flexibility and allows you to actually see your investments at the palm of your hand. You don't have to go through a wealth advisor. Which, of course, we always recommend.
Yes.
But it is, you know, even if you do work with a wealth advisor, most of the time you do have access to these apps that will show you how your investments are doing. But it is cool that you can do it directly, which a lot of millennials would rather, like, don't call, just text me, that sort of thing. So
I feel like it's more like checking the tracking on your Amazon package.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why I do this, but I will place an order and then, like, 2 hours, I'm like, is it out for shipping yet? As if I'm like, come on, calm down.
Probably.
Sometimes it is. That's the best part about Amazon. But like you said, it's up. You can check it whenever you want. And right. It's like, there's just that Amazon feeling. I'm like, I wonder where my package is. Yeah. I wonder where my investment's at today.
Exactly.
So one of the other major factors driving millennial investment decisions is commitment to that socially conscious investing. We've talked about this at length on many episodes.
Yeah.
They're prioritizing ESG-focused funds that emphasize environmental, social, and governance factors into their investment strategy. Again, maybe we're just better people than all the others. I'm just kidding. But like, we really want to set this world up for success as well. Not only ourselves, but we want to make sure that when we leave this whatever, that it's better and that our children can have this amazing world. And so we tend to invest in things that make things better.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, prior generations had similar goals, but we know more about the environment and the effects of our decisions on the earth that we live in now.
You can just say we're better. It's
fine. So I think that knowing that and also in real time seeing some of the effects of, you know, climate change is huge, right? So that can lead you to – it's pretty powerful to see that and experience that yourself, and that can lead you to put your dollars in a place where you feel like – you can leave the world in a better place than before.
Yeah.
Even some of these big league companies like BlackRock and Morgan Stanley have recognized this demand and are offering more of those ESG products. We touched more about that in a prior episode, as you said, but you know, we're seeing that this is such a high demand that these large companies are following and offering those investments to their investors. And millennials, they want to align their money with their values. That's so important. And alternative investments, especially debt offerings, can give an opportunity to invest in a company that is doing something for the greater good.
Yeah. Well, those companies have to, otherwise they're going to be left in the dust and they're not going to exist when, if they just want to stick with what they're used to. Mm-hmm. And we also have amazing leaders like Yvonne. Sorry, I'm probably going to mispronounce the last name. Chinyard.
I know we should.
I should have phonetically spelled that one out. My apologies. But that's the founder of Patagonia.
Yeah.
Sorry, I love Patagonia. I went to Patagonia when I was in Portland just to buy another jacket. One, I didn't pack enough and it was freezing, but that's my own fault. And I got gloves and a hat and two jackets and a sweater. But I love them. Not only do I love their products, but I love what they stand for. They are the champion of sustainability. They've been an inspiration for millennials who want to invest in the company that prioritizes the planet, like we said, as much as the profits.
Yeah.
Their products are great, but I also know I don't feel super guilty about buying something from them because I know it's going to something better.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's kind of like the, you know, Tom's initiative, that totally took off. It's, you know, you buy a pair of shoes goes to someone in need. People felt really good participating in purchasing that. And this is similar, right?
Yeah.
So something that I want to bring up is we're finding that millennials are becoming more risk averse with their investments. You know, historically, young people have been perceived to be more open to risk.
Yeah.
You know, high risk, high reward sorts of investments have been, they've been more open to those sorts of things. And recent polls have shown that millennials are becoming more risk averse. Why? There is a growing distrust in the stock market.
Yes.
We have seen some stock market volatility, and that makes millennials nervous about investing their dollars into the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but you know, like we said, there's not a lot of dollars to go. So they've got to be really careful. And there's, according to Investopedia, millennials are especially worried about market volatility, with 58% of them making their investments less risky compared to Gen Xers and those baby boomers that we all love. The share of Gen Xers who invest conservatively was 46%, with baby boomers coming in at 41%. So we're just really watching where we're putting our money.
Yeah.
And we would rather put it in something that's going to – it might hold it a little bit longer, but we're going to – it's not scary.
Yeah.
Hang on to my money. keep it safe. I'll come get it when I need it.
Right.
And again, because of all this learning and research that we've been doing, especially from previous generations, we're okay with putting our money started right now because we don't need it right now. Well, some people need it, but the investment part, they're okay. They don't need to pull it out. So it can sit for a minute and grow.
Right. So what's interesting, though, is that we're seeing a lot of millennials who are actually hoarding their money, as in not investing it at all.
That too.
So letting their money accumulate just in a normal savings account or a normal checking account even, which of course we know checking accounts don't make any sort of interest.
No.
Millennials have been traumatized. This is a trigger warning.
Yeah. Call my therapist. Hurry up. Where's she at?
From the 2008 financial crisis, you know, a lot of these folks experienced that. I remember the 2008 financial crisis, but I was also a child. And a lot of millennials were just starting to get on their feet and be on their own and be responsible for themselves in a very tumultuous time, you know, very stressful. So they remember that. And it is, in fact, influencing the way that they make their investment decisions. In fact, in a Legg Mason survey, 4 in 5 millennials reported that the crisis of 2008 still is influencing their investment decisions and what they do with their dollars.
That's crazy. In 2008... Well, you are a child. I'm the opposite. I'm the older millennial. I was out looking for a job. Yeah. I had graduated college 2 years prior, and I wanted to go into forensics, and that was a government job, and they put a hold on government positions. And so I was stuck. I had this degree that I worked really hard for, and this goal and this dream was something I really, really wanted, and I could do nothing with it. And guess what? I still do nothing with it. That's okay. It pushed me in a direction that I love more than life.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for where I went. But yes, every single thing, I'm like, that could happen again.
Sure.
I could be looking for a job again, and I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Or so it feels.
Scary.
It's really very
scary.
So this is where alternative investments come in, though. While some alternatives can be considered more risky and a little scary, there's no doubt that they can help diversify someone's portfolio. Again, we don't want to put all of our eggs in one basket.
Yep.
Even though we love scrambled eggs and making breakfast, we don't want to do that. Alternatives can protect you from the stock market volatility, which is exactly what millennials fear.
Yeah, exactly. And I can sympathize with being nervous. What you just shared, that is scary. You know, I graduated in a similar, not similar, but I graduated in 2020. So I had a similar experience in the sense that I graduated in a time where nothing was guaranteed and there were lots and lots of people looking for jobs and not a lot of people hiring.
Yeah.
And I also ended up going a different direction than I had originally intended. So I understand being nervous and distrusting the stock market because of that. However, the answer is not hoarding money, because then your money can't grow. This completely eliminates the opportunity for that and can significantly impact your ability to retire in the future. Not many people make enough money to be able to retire on in their lifetime. They invest it and that helps their dollars grow so that by the time they're able to retire, they have enough money. And also, you know, Social Security can come in, et cetera, et cetera. So we have different flows of income that are helping fund retirement.
Yeah.
And it is very rare for somebody to just work their job and have enough money put aside to retire on without it being invested in some capacity.
And remember, we talked about it in that previous episode, Social Security is roughly 40% of your income is all you're getting.
So exactly.
That's not a lot of money. So.
Exactly. And as we always say, speak with an advisor.
Yes.
Get professional advice. You can invest more conservatively if that's what you want to do. But an advisor can help you balance your portfolio and achieve the goals that you want to achieve. And instead of just investing in stocks and bonds, which is where a lot of that market volatility and distrust is, you can balance it with these alternative investments so that your entire portfolio isn't dependent on how the stock market is performing.
Yeah, and start now. Remember, in our retirement episode, it dawned on me that I roughly have 30 more years to work. And because you're younger, you have more years to work. How do you like them apples? Like,
great.
So start saving it now. Start investing these now.
Yeah.
Again, put it what even if it's a little bit, you never know. It can always get bigger.
Yeah.
And as you progress in life, you can always put more and more away.
Yeah.
And since you're not buying a house, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Still want to buy a house.
But oh my gosh.
You yeah. put as what you can away, but mm-hmm. put it in those long-term, little safer, not high risk, not high reward. Just put it somewhere safe.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
under your mattress though.
Yeah. And get that professional advice.
Yeah.
So to wrap up today's discussion, millennials are approaching investments in a different way yeah. than previous generations. They're wanting to stick to their values. They are more risk averse and they fear market volatility, which is severely impacting their investment choices.
You're absolutely correct. And there's a huge opportunity to diversify those portfolios beyond those traditional stocks, bonds, embracing alternatives like we talked about earlier, venture capital, real estate, crypto, crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending mm-hmm. Platforms. Again, they make it so much easier. You have it in the palm of your hand. And then those ESG investing is a major priority for this generation.
Yeah, absolutely. So crowdfunding, crowd to crowd lending.
I like it. Let's leave it.
Crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending. These platforms are, you know, really exciting. Check them out. See what sorts of investment opportunities are there for you. Yeah. It might help you get, you know, excited about investing. So, you know, check it out. You don't have to invest anything, but take a look. See what's available.
Those platforms are free to sign up.
Yeah, they are. So. ESG investing matters. So continue to look for those opportunities. Speak with an advisor who can help guide you in the direction of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. If you are a millennial who really cares about those things, which most do have as it has been reported. And, you know, balance that risk and the reward. Make sure that you are balancing your portfolio. You can include alternatives to do that. You can invest based on what you are comfortable with. If you are feeling more risk averse, you can do things that are more, you know, conventional investments that are more, that are less risky, and you can balance those with things outside of the stock market. And this can ensure a diversified, well-rounded portfolio.
And that's definitely what we need. So whether you're looking to diversify your portfolio, align your investments with your values, or take on those high reward, high risk opportunities, there's never been more time to take control. So tune in for next time. We hope you will like, subscribe, and follow, and all the good things that you do on the internet.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode. And don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with MTY. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.